Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Thank everybody for being here. There's quite a few people I haven't seen in a few days, being the fact Nathan Alon's hiding in a cave. And Rabbi Zion's I haven't seen in ages. I meant to call you 25 times. A Chashava alumni here. We even have a Chassan who came on board. All very Chashav. Not you, Yaakov Deutsch. But Baruch Hashem. So I'm going to try to do a topic. I think we are trying to call it, it's a little pretty strong words, but it's Rav Yisrael Salanter's Corona Chizuk. Now, I don't think I'm Rav Yisrael Salanter, but I'll explain why we're calling it that. L'maisa, we're at a time in Klal Yisrael's history, world history, where people are very, very confused. There's absolutely so much going on. It's a type of time you feel, if you saw the news every hour, like what are you missing out on? You know, if you didn't follow the news yesterday, you wouldn't know that any New Yorkers are exempt from coming, are banned from coming into Florida. They have to quarantine for 14 days, which means not by family or in a hotel, which effectively shut down all Pesach programs. There's constantly like earth-shattering, Rachman Litzlan news. And people are confused. Now, it gave me a lot of chizuk. I know people watched. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky spoke on Motzei Shabbos. Or anytime has it, I think, on their site. And Reb Shmuel said, the Pemale, the Gadol Hador, said, I don't know what the Eibushter wants from us. Like, yikes. If the Gadol Hador doesn't know, like, obviously we don't know. And look, it gives us chizuk that other people are confused, like us. Maybe not as much as us, but it's a challenging time. No one has ever lived through this. It's mamish, you know, from another century. You know, pandemics are a crazy, crazy thing. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, there are... You see, you know, a lot of different reactions. You know, Baruch Hashem, there is a lot of Das Torah out there. You know, I think there are a lot of Rabbanim and a lot of Gedolim speaking out and giving messages. You know, but at the same time, it's still self-confusing. And I don't think after this Vod it'll be less confusing. Probably, I hope it'll make it more confusing. At least something to think about. I'll tell you two things in particular, just judging people's reactions, which hit me. You know, you have two types of people. This I've seen clearly. There are people that are listening exactly to what the Rabbanim and what the doctors are saying. If the Rabbanim and the doctors say, don't go to shul, don't make a minyan on your block, Baruch Hashem, there's a significant element of Klal Yisrael that's listening and not doing that. At the same time, I've seen with my own eyes, people, not just crazies, you know, not just the people making fights in front of Landau's in Brooklyn, but I've seen people, I might even use the word chashuva people, that defy some of these orders. They're going out. Shh, don't tell anybody. They're going to some minyan. They're not exactly listening to social distancing. Their kids are running around with other people's kids. So as a firm Jew, like, how do you, you know, accept that? How do you deal with that? Like, you see people have different reactions. Some people are listening, you know, to what the rabbanim, the doctors are saying. And others are blowing it off. You know, a second thing I've seen, which is similar, but you have some people within the situation itself that are very nervous. And in Rachmana Litzlan, they're panicking. They're going crazy. Really, really like stricken by the situation. And there are other people who are totally removed. Nothing bothers them. And they just like mevatel the whole thing. I'll share a story. Just yesterday, I was walking my kid, taking from the baby stroller, taking him going for a walk. And some guy, Chashav HaTalm Chacham, not from Lakewood, stopped me on the street. I kept my 6 feet from him, but he was in his car. I was walking. And he's like, what's up, Shot? Why is everyone so crazy in this? Why do we have to shut down the shuls and yeshivas and this? So I wasn't really sure how to answer him. I didn't know what he wanted. You know, I said a few things. I'll get to one thing I told him in a second. But the guy, I would use the words callously, because I don't think it's an understatement. Callously said, I don't get what the big deal is. Honestly, I'll tell you, my father-in-law was in cardiac arrest the other day. But I don't know why everyone's going so crazy. People die. People die by the flu. Okay, so people are going to die. Why do we have to shut down society? Why do we have to shut the shuls? Maisa shahaya kachaya. That's what the guy told me.
Wow.
And I think, those are two opposite reactions. I'm not saying any of them are good. It's not good to panic. People absolutely panicking and going crazy and constantly, getting nervous. And there are other people that feels like they have the heart of an assassin, the blood of one of these doctors that the Gemara in Kedushin says not good things about. Like, callousness, cold. I don't think either of those are the right Torah approach. Then what is? Those are just observations I've seen of people's reactions emotionally. Whether it's listening to the Rabbanim, not listening to the Rabbanim, whether it's panicking, whether it's just blowing the whole thing off. And then you also see in the Torah world different hashkafas of what our reactions should be. I don't want to get bogged down into it. Like one example, should we fast tomorrow? For the second time in 2 weeks, they're gedolim are calling for a fast. There's a fast call for last Thursday. It's actually the second time in less than a week. The Moetzes of America called for a fast last Thursday. And tomorrow, Yom Kippur Katan, Reb Chaim Kanievsky and Mela got, the whole world, Moetzes and a lot of organizations in Gedolim, to call for a fast tomorrow. And tomorrow's fast, even talking about with Anenus and Avinu Malkenus, the full nine yards, Kabbalah, ideally before Mincha. Just that topic itself, I spoke to my father-in-law and someone else told me over, B'Shem Rabbi Harris, who both were quite skeptical and quite, I would use even stronger words, but against pushing our Talmidim to do such things. They didn't think necessarily that was the right approach. Hashkafically, they thought out health, it's not so poshut for people to fast. It wasn't poshut. This is an approach, obviously, we all hold of Reb Chaim, but we wouldn't, necessarily go after Reb Chaim if our Rebbeim told us differently. So people are pushing that. There's another big thing people are pushing. There's a tshuva, there's a piece from Reb Kiva Eger, where they had a pandemic in his time. And Reb Kiva Eger called for people to say Pita Maktaris twice a day. So the Sfaradim were all excited about this one. But the Ashkenazim, you're lucky if you say Pita Maktaris on Shabbos. And I just saw someone sent me a thing in Torah Anytime. They're having a worldwide Pita Maktaris recital. Again, what I find interesting is I read through that letter from Rebbe Akiva Eiger. He does talk about Pita Maktaris in the letter, but if that's all you got out of the letter, you miss 99% of it. Do you know what the other 99% of the letter was about? It was extreme, particular directions of how to be careful what to eat. Mamash Rebbe Akiva Eiger looked like a nutritionist, your dietitian, telling you exactly what to eat. Agav Orcha, he also mentioned Pita Maktaris. I have yet to see the headline in any of the news flashes. You know, Rebbe Sol Salanter's diet, Rebbe Akiva Eiger's diet. Nobody's pushing the diet because no one wants to hear about a diet. But Pita Maktaris, okay. That I could say. The skin off my back. Pun intended.
Okay.
So, Lamaisa, like, you know, there are different things being thrown around, you know, different etzes and tachbulas, you know, okay, what is it that a person should focus on? So I believe I found a piece from Rebbe Sol Salanter, or I should say pieces from Rebbe Sol Salanter, that I believe addresses these issues. And someone mentioned to me Agav Orcha, as Rabbi Kleinman, the Talmud Mavlok of Shmuel Kamenetsky. I believe he mentioned in passing something I heard from him, that Rav Wolbe in Ali Shur, Chelek Beis, not that you'll get all the marmakomos after, but in the very end of Chelek Beis, he has this whole mareches on the concept of life, chayim. Fascinating, fascinating piece. And within the piece, he says, the greatest depth that he found, this is the Musar great Rav Wolbe talking, the greatest piece he found of all the ages and all the Rishonim Achronim on the topic of life, he said, no one gets into the depth of understanding life like Rabbi Sol Salanter. And he strings together three letters of Rabbi Sol. Igeres Gimel, Igeres Chaf Gimel, and Chaf Beis. Those three letters, he takes part of them and strings it together and brings out, you know, some Yesodos. Now, what I'm saying is what I got off the Ali Shar. Everything I'm saying is exactly what the Rav Wolbe says. But from going through the Ali Shor, I went through the Rishrol inside. I believe there's four major Yesodos that Rabbi Yisrael says in these letters. Rav Wolbe harps on some of them. And I think they're very kedai for us in our situation today. Now, you have to realize Rabbi Yisrael Salanter lived through life when they had pandemics. And Rabbi Yisrael dealt with these types of situations. And in fact, I'll even say, there's a line he writes, this is from Igeres Chaf Beis. He says, V'gam lishmar an haga we have to listen to the instructions, that which the doctors tell us. We have to go and follow exactly what they say. I found in one of the footnotes where Lechter brings a Maisa, that Rabbi Sol Salanter, the doctor, I believe in Vilna, said of him, that he was his greatest patient he ever had. He never had a patient who listened exactly to what he said, like Rabbi Sol Salanter. The same way we're medactic in halacha, Rabbi Sol held, we have to be medactic in our health. This is the halacha. Uren Reich recently gave a speech echoing the same idea. And Rabbi Sol, I found tonight's stories. During one of the, Rabbi Sol in his lifetime, it seems like there are multiple pandemics. know, different waves, different decades. They had these cholera pandemics throughout Europe, 1800s. Not that Elbaz will tell us all about it, different times. But they had all these pandemics, and Stroll in the front lines. He had his talmidim get very involved in this. Also, the most famous story is Rabbi Stroll making gish on Yom Kippur and then the Shulzona. But Rabbi Stroll didn't just do that. Rabbi Stroll himself set up a huge hospital. He built a hospital. He paid for it. He set it up. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, you know, there are a lot of Gomei Chassadim out there. You know, in the meantime, you know, we're relying on the army to build the hospitals in the Javits Center. Rabbi Stroll Salanter in Europe built hospitals during pandemics and did everything he told us coming to Michal Shabbos and everything, whatever they could do to save lives. So Rabbi Stroll was first and foremost, he understood what to do in a pandemic. But one of the things he talks about this in Igeres Gimel, which I think explains a lot. What is the biggest taiva within a person? I don't know. Where's Nisana? He'll tell me to ask Rabbi Regida. But I think we trust Rabbi Stroll even more than anybody. Rabbi Stroll knows best. And Rabbi Stroll, based on Divrei Chazal, in Igeres Gimel, Rabbi Stroll writes, Kasha nashkif al ritzonenu ma'avos taivosenu. When we look at our ritzonos, our taivos, ha'ola ala ko hi taivas hachayim hamdum ha'ozeh. Ha'ratzon ha'ozeh tekua ba'omik l'levenu yatin emon. The greatest drive that a person has inside of him, the greatest ratzon, the greatest taiva, is a drive to live. That's the strongest force inside a person. Obviously, it means Rachmanu Litzlan, somebody who's sick. Now, obviously, you get to a point, the person's biyayish and doesn't feel that. But be'etzem, within the makeup of a person, Rabbi Stroll is telling us, the greatest drive of a person is a drive to live. And I would add, you know, if you don't feel your life threatened, especially a younger person, I assume nichlal on that is not just your taiva just to be able to breathe, which unfortunately, if you see what's going on to these patients, they mamash can't talk, they can't breathe. But besides the taiva to live, to breathe, it's a taiva to live life normally. You know, I think about what it means to be an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, you know, like this, you know, this is not how a bacher expected to spend his ben hazmanim. In fact, I saw somebody sent me that message the other day. This is not how I expected to spend, you know, ben hazmanim. It's not ben hazmanim yet, okay? People didn't expect to see this, to feel this. But this is where we're at. But there's a drive within a person, a taivas chayim, a strong force in a person. I want it to be different. I want to do whatever I can to change it. I want to live. And that's a feeling we could all tap into. You know, I think in a certain sense, it goes both ways. I think this is the reason why you find all these crazy reactions to people. People are panicking. People are just blowing it off. Both of those come from a drive. I want to live. So one person manifests himself. He's nervous. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want anything to happen to him. The other person wants to live, and he'll blow the whole thing off. He'll callously, you know, talk about the situation because he just wants to go on with life. It's also why, you know, of course, people hopefully have Das, they'll listen to the Das Torah, but there's a big taiva in a person. But I want to live life the way I want to live. Don't obstruct me. Don't tell me I can't go there. Don't tell me I can't do this. There's a very strong force, a taiva within a person that they want to go on living life just as they did before. And Mamela, So unfortunately, some people misuse that. They won't listen to Rabbanim and doctors. They'll panic or they'll act callously. But the Mida behind it all, Rabbi Yisrael is telling us, is there's an idea called Taivas HaChayim. There's a drive, the desire for life. So by us, I think the proper way to use this concept of Taivas HaChayim is to inspire us. You know, it is very hard coping with Yiddishkeit and trying to learn and do whatever we can with Avodas Hashem. And, you know, it might be fun the first couple of days, a new environment, you know, when you're learning in your garage or you're trying to learn without a chavrusa. You know, it might be fun the first couple of days, but after a while, you know, it's hard. It's very hard. You know, at Rachmanis, one of my neighbors, I saw he has no room in his house. You know, your houses, you have your kids running around. So this guy was sitting, the only place he could sit and learn, he's sitting out. I saw this guy in my block. I saw people on the canal. They're sitting and learning on the canal, on the bench. This guy had a shtender outside his house. It's 90 degrees here in Florida. It's not the easiest thing to sit outside and learn. It's hard. But if we tap in somehow to this Taivas HaChayim, realize we want to live, okay, to the best of our ability, I want to keep on going, keep life as normal as possible. That's one yesod for Mirv Yisrael. There's a second yesod, which I hope it doesn't sound controversial. Not so simple. If it doesn't make sense, obviously it's on me. So please look it up yourself. It's really a combination of Igeres Chaf Beis and Igeres Chaf Gimel. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanta talks about, and really this is something like I myself was trying to grapple with, you know, Rahman Laslan, today in Queens, there's a wonderful Yid, I knew of him. I know multiple son-in-laws. He was a wonderful Yid. He was a Talmud Chacham. He learned in Shar Torah's Kol for years. He was a PA. He was in the medical world. He got solo guy in Queens. Rachman, he passed away from Corona this morning. And Mama Shatsara. And in these situations, they're not even having normal levayas. There is a Talmud Chacham in Lakewood, 50-year-old bone passed away. Rachman, it's the fairlech. And if you know people that Rachman are sick, like I want to mention in the beginning of this speech, you know, this thought should be a schus of lema, that's Tira, Bina Basana, or for Rabbi Lerfeld, David Ben Etariva, Rabbi Jacobson, Rashiva of Tars Yisrael, Nizar Fush Lema, that's Yehuda Yitzchak Ben Matal. There's an alumnus of Miami, a former Mordechai Yeshua ben Shushalaya, and these are Fush Lema. There are Rahman Islan, there are a lot of people. And, you know, there's such tsaras. Can you imagine Rahman Islan, people who are niftaris, who are nifter, they don't have normal levayas. Even people not nifter from Corona don't have normal levayas. I knew of a story yesterday of someone being nifter, a young person, he has a family. None of his family was able to, were allowed to go. He's been buried in Eretz Yisrael. No one's able to go. You know, even the people sick, they're sick in the hospitals. They can't, no one's allowed to visit them. They don't allow anybody in. Zero. So imagine you're sick, you can't breathe, and you're in a hospital bed with nobody there. It's mamish kaferach. So, like, at least Kavod HaMeis, someone's nifter. Even that they don't have right now. There's no normal Kavod HaMeis. There's no levayas. There's no. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has an amazing idea. He quotes the Gemara in Erevin. We all know it from the Masechta Sesharim, where the Gemara debates is Noach Adam Shlo Nivra Yosef Mishanivra or not. Is it better for a person to be created or not to be created? So Rabbi Yisrael learns Pshat in the Gemara. I think I remember Rabbi Harris from Naftali, you can remind me. But I think I remember Harris once talking on this. But the way Rabbi Saul learns, I believe, is that there's two dinim. Intellectually, seichel inushi, a person shouldn't feel bad when someone's nifter. Because be'etzem, there's a tzad of noach adam shalom nivra, yosem ishenivra. When a person's nifter, it says no matter what age, Rabbi Saul spells this out, young, old, look, he's going, Bez Hashem, to a better place. The fact that his life was cut short, all that means is it's taking away nisyonos from his life, where he could have been nechshol, and even if he lived the life of a tzaddik, he still could be over averus later in life. So really, al pi seichel anushi, zok Rabbi Yisrael, a person should not mourn when someone's nifter. He really shouldn't. Because it's going to a better place. But there's a second in. Emotionally, people get attached to people. You like seeing a person there. That's a normal emotion. That's the correct emotion, not callousness. A person should feel attached and should feel sad when anyone they have any shaykhus to is nifter, or hearing about anyone being nifter. There's an emotional response. So Zakhtar Bistro, the halacha is, hilchos avelos go bust their emotions. And the reason why we mourn is because we're supposed to follow the emotions. We're not supposed to mourn too much. On that, we're supposed to realize the seichel. But it's a balance. And the halachas of mourning stem from these emotional responses we're supposed to have. Zakhtar Bistro, a massive chiddush in Yigeres Chafbeis. And this letter he wrote to a relative of someone who was nifter during this pandemic. What do you write to somebody who lost a brother, a parent, a child during a pandemic? Rabbi Yisrael writes that even though normally halacha is we're supposed to mourn, but in this particular situation, when there's a pandemic going on, when there are mason b'chol yom, then we're supposed to respond, the halacha is different. You're supposed to respond al tzad ha-seichel. Person's going to a better place. Mamish Rabbi Yisrael is saying a massive chiddush. Rav Volbi points this out. Zuhi horal halacha. It's mamish, this is halacha l'maisa. Halacha changes. In a normal case, the halacha dictates we're supposed to have an emotional response and mourn and mourn and mourn. But in a situation when there's a pandemic going on, every day you hear Rachman Litzlan, multiple people dying. Every day, L'havdol ben Achayim L'meisim, you hear of more people being sick. There, your response has to be more seichel. I don't think Saul would say, it means you can't call a person up for Shiva and you can't feel bad about it. Don't forget, of course you should on some level. But the balance sways more that it has to be outside of Seichel. And the reason Rabbi Yisrael writes is twofold. Firstly, for a person's own health and his own, you know, physical health and emotional health. If we spend our days in mourning, if we spend our days with mamash, a dark cloud over us, people can't function. Yisrael even brings a pasuk in Nach that the call of the day is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with strength, not with weakness, not with darkness, not with getting depressed. Chas v'shalom. Normally during the rest of the life, or small son, someone's nifter, you have to mourn. That's the halacha. You know, just the metzias of the world. You know, when you see situations, it's not shayach. There isn't mourning. I don't know that it was paskin that. We just physically can't. You can't go near a nifter. You can't go near other avelim. But don't think, based on the service role, that we're losing out. Maisa, this is the right thing to do. The right thing in such a situation, there's a balance. There's a shikl of emotions that in such a situation, you can't go yosem yidai. Very important. Two more things I want to touch on before I have to run back home before the curfew. But everyone loves asking this question. Okay, why is Hashem bringing this upon us? Why? What's the reason? I've seen lots of people talk about it. I stand by Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's line. We don't know. We don't know why Kadosh Baruch Hu brings in these things. You know, this one's saying it's because the shetels are too long, or because people were fighting about the measles. And this one says because of smartphones. You know, everything in the world. You know, now look, Mestama, part and parcel, is a person supposed to do a cheshbon and nefesh and see to do tshuva on whatever areas they're weak in. But there's no, usually the people who know these things, you know, it's an area that they're good in, you know, it's the other area that, you know, everyone has to be, everyone else is being nechshol. But the words of Rabbi Yisrael haunted me when I saw them, because anyone who had the schus to hear Rabbi Harris's pretty heavy schmooze he gave last Tuesday, Rabbi Harris and Mamash echoed these words. I wasn't able to listen to the whole shmooze. I heard part of it. Avrami, you hooked me up for it. I appreciate it. End of share. But I don't know that Rabbi Harris quoted Rabbi Yisrael. I'm not sure Rabbi Harris saw Rabbi Yisrael. But if he didn't see Rabbi Yisrael, he's mamash mechaven, exactly what Rabbi Yisrael says. Rabbi Yisrael writes, this is again, Igeres Gimel, V'ata inachbosh matzavenu. We look into our matzav. We are so far away from the center of life. Avodoseinu lo laHashem hi. Our avodah is Hashem. Our avodah is not for Hashem. Rov ha'itim b'chashecha nahalach. Most of the times we're going in darkness. Umalos b'neinu, just to fill our stomachs. Lirvos taivoseinu ha'shvarim v'anivzim, to fill our taivas. And the small good deeds that we do, they're broken, below rose, below das, derech hanochan layosha. Yisrael says pretty harsh words. Now, who is he writing these letters to? Right, there were Naftali, Amsterdam, Yitzhak Blazer, the altar of Kelm, the altar of Mavardak, Choshev Yidden. But he says, look, we might be doing Avodas Hashem on the outside, but if you dig deep, what is it? Are we really serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or, you know, we're going through the motions, we're doing what everyone else is doing. I'm learning because everyone else is learning. I'm doing mitzvahs like everyone else is doing mitzvahs. How much of a rut zone is there to serve Hashem? Yikes. That's Rabbi Stroll's introspection. You know, Rabbi Harris said similar words. That means, you know, we have to do Musar, and talking to myself, and you guys can listen. But Lamaisa, we have to learn Musar. I feel bad. I have a list of things to do. And I'm not sure I checked off Musar as much as I should have, my daily checklist. But we have to learn Musar. We have to make a cheshbon and nefesh. We have to see, you know, the things that we talked about doing on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Are we doing them? Are we not doing them? You know, we recognize the areas that we're flawed in. Do we not recognize the areas that really we have flaws in? See some of the letters of the Gedolim of Gershon Edelstein talks about, you know, doing a cheshbon and nefesh and trying to be mizaki ben al chaveros. You know, I don't think Rabbi Yisrael is talking dafka only ben al makom. Of course, he means also ben al chaveros. So that's a big deal. Yeah, we got to learn Musar. We got to, you know, look at our basics. You know, what do we have? And really, Rabbi Yisrael digs in deeper. And with this, I'll hit one additional note. So if that's where we're at, that look, what do we have? We do mitzvos, but you know, how broken are they? How piecemeal are they? How many times are we nitzol and taivas? How many times are we not doing the ratz of Hashem? So what schosim do we have? You know, at a time like this, people need schosim. You know, it's not pashut. Of course, everything is nigzar and Rosh Hashanah and this, but this is an eitz tzara. At an eitz tzara, people need schosim. You know, at an kol shekain, if this is Exodus of Mashiach, if this is Heavenly Mashiach, you know, they see scary things about that time. It's not, you know, not all rosy. So people need schosim. So what should a person do? So Rabbi Yisrael writes in this letter, a famous piece, we've all heard it in yeshiva many times, but he talks about the concept of Lamancha Elokim Chayim, is that we should make ourselves, this is Igeres Gimel, we should make ourselves into people that the tzibur needs. We should do things on behalf of other people. We should look to help out other people, whatever we can. He has a line here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. He wants us to live to serve him be'emes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do everything we can. And the biggest chosim we have is to do things on behalf of others. That's the famous line of Harris quotes. It's also a lot at the beginning of Nefesh HaChayim, that our whole lives should be viewed not for ourselves, but what we could do for others. And I'll just point out quickly, what could we all do for other people? So besides our own personal tikkun hanefesh and cheshbon hanefesh, and fixing our own midos, which mimela will make us better people, and that also could have effects on others. But three areas, you know, Olam Omen Al Gimel Dvarim, Torah Avodah Gemilas Hasadah. Torah, it's Pashat, Chaim Kanievsky wrote this in his latest letter, is more dangerous than the coronavirus is the lack of Torah in the world right now. It's Pashat and it's true. It's B'nai Yeshiva have been out of yeshivas, and whatever learning is going on is not the same as it was till now. And there's a big Indian to learn Torah. You know, so much so, the yeshiva, we're ending this man, actually, you know, coming up on Rosh Chodesh. But we're opening at the same time. Everyone should be getting receiving emails. But we're opening, Be'ez Hashem, have shiurim through Pesach, through the beginning of Yontif. You know, in some form, in some fashion, some on a daily basis, but whatever we can, it's shtickle unprecedented. But we feel we need schosim, besides saving people from boredom, which that itself, you know, is important. But obviously, if people are not involved in Gemilas Chesed, which we'll get to. But whatever people could do, Limud HaTorah, the yeshiva wants to help facilitate. Also in helping with chavrusas, you know, I would recommend, you know, it's a schos for older guys to learn with younger guys. I've mentioned this before. You know, you could have a third-year guy learn with a first-year guy. You could have a second-year guy learn with a high school kid. But reaching out, it could be short seder, it could be 15 minutes. But making siddurim with other guys, if people are available, Be'ez Hashem, I could try to be the shachtan. If guys can learn with other people, it's a tremendous, tremendous schos. Also here in yeshiva, we invite the talmidim to ask from the rabbeim that we will try to make siddurim with our time allotted to help out with Talmidim, not just myself, the Rosh Yeshivas, hopefully some of our Chashuva Bahelfers, Shalom Meshivs. People want Chavrusas, they should contact me, and I'll try to make Shaduchim and try to make arrangements, because whatever we can do to Mechazik Liman HaTorah, you know, it's all hands on deck. And Liman HaTorah is something that we could all, you know, as much as we can, you know. The second area is tefillah. Tefillah is something, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to daven to him. There's no shaila about that. We have to be marba tefillah. Lou Ben, I heard, gave a vad to a shmuz to the high school last week. He said, Dvarim Pshutim, you know, that you know, people should try to keep whatever lechachilas that we always have by davening. Obviously, a guy dressing like a bentara, dressing the kavadik for davening. You shouldn't daven in your slippers. Guy should get dressed up to daven. Right? I saw the memes going around, you know. At 9 p.m., I changed from my day pajamas to my night pajamas. Right? You got to get dressed every morning. Every morning I give share. I make comments on everyone's dress. The first thing I do. Right, a good thing. It's healthy for everyone to get up every morning, get dressed, daven. Really, ideally, I saw Rabbi Friedman gave this eitzah. People should plan the night before when they go to sleep what time to daven the next morning. It shouldn't just be a thing. Obviously, if a person's not feeling well, that's different. But if a person's feeling well, he should make up. Okay, what time am I waking up? Set your alarm. What time am I waking up to daven the next morning? I saw Shmuel Kamenetsky says, you have to daven in your house, but have a set spot in your house to daven. That's also called a makom kavua. Person should have a makom kavua in his house. Person should have a set time to daven. Person should daven like a mensch. And one also very important eitzah, which I think is, I think every person should try to the best of their ability to accumulate a personal list of people they personally know or they know of who rachmanos on are sick in this situation. Seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, there's no city, there's no area that doesn't have sick people or people that know of sick people. I started making my own list the other day as in Rachman Tzad, it's getting longer and longer. It's chilling. But a person should make a list of people that they have shaykhas to, people they found out about, they saw on Matzav about this Adam Gadol, this of Chaim Dov Keller, Ben Kreindl. Yeah. People should have lists of gedolim, of people, of neighbors, friends, family who are sick. People with chas v'shalom corona, people without it. It's a dangerous time to be sick. Very, very dangerous. And people should be misbal for them. If you misbal for people, that adds to your tefillah. Besides doing a chesed for other people. Thirdly, the milas chasadim, whatever a person could do, right now, Gamilas Hasadim, there's so many tzarchim, there's so many needs. I'll tell you a few quick stories. There's a guy in our high school. My son told me, he's a shtickle macher. Yisrael Meyer, you'd be proud of him. But this guy, it seems he knows how to get geshmaka deals. Alan, you know, in the community announcement is sent out. Anyone who needs toilet paper, gloves, you know, all the essentials, tissues, a face. There's a kid in the community, a bacher in the high school, who he could buy it from. He bought in bulk. He's going to sell out everything he has. He's giving at a cost price. And then, Bez Hashem, he has ins, he'll order more. Imagine, there's some bacher in the high school who's supplying, you know, toilet paper for, you know, the neighborhood. I don't know, someone sent me a story. There's some probably Yid in L.A. who decided to be a Kiddush Hashem. He had his yeshiva bacher son give out free rolls of toilet paper in the middle of L.A. So, you know, he's kids, you know, instead of the Lubavitcher standing on a booth to give out tefillin, you know, he's giving out toilet paper. But, okay, so a chesed to do. I saw they started in this neighborhood. They have in other neighborhoods of people that could help homebound people. Rachmanis, and there are older people, there are, you know, people who's, you know, health-wise, they can't go out, age-wise, they can't go out, to go shopping for them. You know, I feel horrible. My mother's in New York, parents are in New York, you know, they can't go out shopping. They're over the age, they can't go out. So Baruch Hashem, I have a cousin who lives in Englewood. She says she's in the drive-in, anytime my mother needs to go shopping. Well, if another cousin lives in Brooklyn, said she'll go shopping for her. But like people, you know, and a lot of these people are just making Pesach last minute. They're supposed to go somewhere else, and last minute they have to make Pesach. So there's so many things, so many chasadim that people could do, people could think of, you know, to help out. You know what a big chasid is? Look, I'm not saying for me, but, you know, take someone's kids out. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you know, there are health issues involved too. Kids carry, you know, things, but the chmeis, you know, make a magic show for kids, you know, house by house on their lawns. You know, you stay 6 feet away from them and put on a magic show. Nathan, you hear me? Right? Something you could do, if you save a parent, do you know how much stress parents are going on? I had Zoom the other, I had an issue with Zoom the other day in share. So I called, you know, I have the bath phone. I called Avram Eliezer Friedman, you know, the world's busiest person right now. And luckily, my connections, he got back to me, you know, Shas Meisen, to work out share. So he zoomed in, he got on the Zoom to see how it was going. And when I saw the video, he literally had three kids climbing on him as he was doing this. That's what life is. Life has gotten crazy. So whatever people could do to help out the elderly, help out parents with kids, obviously help out your own houses, your own neighbors, whatever people could do, there's so much chesed. And it's a kiddush Hashem every time a nice yeshiva bacher helps out. And maybe it'd be good for shidduchim too. But whatever it is, l'maisa, there's so much that we could do and we could accomplish. And that will fulfill Rabbi Yisrael's yesod of l'mancha, that mancha l'kim chaim, whatever we can do, help out other people. Well, you all did a tovah for me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming.